Please turn to the book of Romans in your Bibles. Romans chapter 9. Book of Romans chapter 9, please. Verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honour and another unto dishonour? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honour and the other unto dishonour. If you go to the Old Testament, the book of Judges, Book of Judges, chapter 7. We're going to read from verse 1 through to verse 8, and then 15 through to 22. The book of Judges, chapter 7. We'll read this portion of Scripture, and then we will go to the Lord in prayer. Judges, chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Moreh, in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, Every one that lappeth the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lappeth, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took vigils in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of the Midian was beneath him in the valley. Over to verse 15, please. We'll read to 22, verse 15. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel, and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into thine hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet, he put in every man's hand, and a trumpet he put in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look upon me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that is with me, then blow ye the trumpets, also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set a watch, and they blew their trumpets and broke the pitchers and that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 men blew their trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled. We'll stop there. And the host fled. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word which lives today. We thank you for its strength and its power, and its power to change lives. We thank you for its many pictures and stories which have spiritual meaning, spiritual lessons, lessons that can liberate, that can give victory in our Christian walk. And we pray, Lord, that you would bring to life, Lord, that you would have us to see within the pages of your word instruction for our living. And we thank you for it. We thank you that you are a great God. We thank you that it is through you that we have victory. We thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sin. We thank you of that time, Lord, where we repented and by faith received you as Saviour. As a result of that, we thank you that we can be vessels unto honour for your use, in your hands, for your glory. We thank you for these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to see a number of children here. And when I look at that board up there and I see missionaries, different missionaries of gone days, I think of one missionary as a young person. His name was John Payton. As a young man, I'm not certain of his age, I think about 11 or 12, where he surrendered his life to the Lord. And even a young man can do that. And he became not a great man, but he became a man who was greatly used of God. John Payton in the island of Vanuatu, then called New Hebrides. And the Lord can do that to any young man or any old man, any young girl or any old woman. And that's encouraged. All these men knew that. There were three things that they knew, these men. They knew that little is much when God is in it. They learnt that. Perhaps some learnt it on the mission field, but they learnt it. And God was able to use them. Little is much when God is in it. They learnt that faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. They learnt that. We read that. They also learnt that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. But the key there is that it is through Christ, which strengthens me. And those things that they learnt, the Lord was able to use them in a mighty way. And I appreciate that testimony of Brother Schofield's sharing of a young man who's in the congregation. I don't know him. And insignificant young man. And the Lord was able to use him. Amen. And he's put his hand forward. Amen. And that's what the Lord does. He uses people of earthly insignificance. And he's able to bring about his glory through that. And that's what our text that we read of today shows us. When we think of Gideon, if you just flick back one chapter to chapter 6 there in Gideon, in the book of Judges, when we look at the man Gideon, the man used of God, in a time where in Israel was impoverished, and a time where they were seeking the Lord. For 7 years they were oppressed by the Midianites, who caused them to be greatly impoverished. The Lord allowed that to be. It was through their own disobedience and going into idolatry. And after the time of Joshua, they just turned and they went into disobedience and just followed their own way. And the Lord raised different men, and then eventually this man of God, this Gideon. But let's look at him and let's learn from him. Chapter 6 and verse 14 says, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" In verse 15, "And he said unto him," Gideon says, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? How will I do this? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am least of my father's house." Gideon didn't see himself as very much. He had insecurities in himself. He needed reassurance, much reassurance. "I am poor. My family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of that poor family." He wasn't oozing with confidence. And that's who God will point out and decide to use. In verse 16 it says, "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." As one man. Remember that thought. An insignificant man for God's use. He was a man poor in spirit, who was humble before the Lord. And let that be a lesson to us. We can't be used of God unless we're humbled, unless we are poor in spirit. We could be rich in the wallet, rich in the bank account, but we need to be poor in spirit if we expect God to use us. Notice the unusual instruments that God uses to bring about victory over the enemy. You would have noticed 300 trumpets blowing to bring the fear of God before the people. You would have noticed 300 pitchers there. By the way, the pitcher that we read about are clay vessels, clay pots. Not made of metal, just clay pots, vessels. 300 broken pitchers to bring to light its contents. Remember, they broke the pitcher, which brought to light its contents. Its contents were 300 lamps, torches, to glow and attack darkness, the darkness, and bring about God's glory. We see in those events a picture that teaches a spiritual lesson. The Lord takes pleasure in using and doing the impossible, so that he may show himself mighty. He takes pleasure in that. And that's amazing. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Neither are his ways our ways. They're very different to our ways. We have our ideas, and it's good to come up with ideas, but often don't be surprised if the Lord says, "No, that's not my way. I'll do it differently." And be sensitive to the Lord's leading, so we'll know what that different way is. You see, that's important as well. But God takes pleasure in doing the impossible to show himself mighty. There are many other examples in Scripture. The example of a man who had a humble beginning used mightily of God was David, the shepherd boy who used slings and stones to defeat the giant. His ways aren't our ways. Slings and stones in his artillery. In many ways, the account also in Genesis chapter 14, you remember Abraham defeated the army that had taken Lot captive. Very much similar to our reading this morning. The number of men was much the same. Abraham had 318 men that he took to battle. Gideon had 300. They both divided their forces, they both made their attack by night, and they both were victorious under great disadvantage. But little is much when God is in it. Now moving on, God can choose any means to bring about victory. He could just speak it forward, and those Midianites, 135 Midianite men like grasshoppers in the valley, could have just been wiped out. He could have sent, I don't know, a fireball, a flood. He could have caused the rocks to fall from the hills and just crushed them all. I mean, he's God. He can do anything he likes, but he chooses to do things that will bring him glory. And often he'll choose to do things that will lessen man, humble man, and so that God can get the glory. And I really believe these men were humble men. You know, we sort of put them up on pedestals, and we need to be careful not to. But we thank God for them. We've got to realize, you know, the God of their strength. And so God used 300 men over 132,000. That's been outnumbered 450-1. And remember what God said to Gideon. He said, that thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So you can bring that 300 down to one. It's as if it was Gideon's might that he received from God, the enabling. We're talking about the grace of God here. God's grace just poured out on Gideon, a humble man. God can do that if we would humble ourselves. If the Lord led you to build, to buy an extra printing machine that cost, $32,000, say. I know it's $100,000, but say $32,000. And the Lord said, no, I don't want you to use the $32,000. I'll just give you $300 and see what I will do. And he said, go and buy the printing press for that. And that's what God did here.
Yeah,
the numbers don't add up. You can get your calculator out and punch it in, and you'll see it just doesn't add up. And, these are impossible things. That's how the Lord works. He doesn't have a calculator. And I'm learning that. 450-1. So that he will show himself mighty. Victory may sometimes need to be preceded by losing wealth. In your lives. And if you lose wealth, well, just praise God for it.
Amen.
And just rely on Him. I said the younger class, that we don't need to worry about things. So if we lose wealth, well, thank you, Lord. Don't worry. Don't get anxious. If you're in tune with the Lord, then He'll look after you.
Amen.
Victory may be preceded by a loss of income. Your salary. Victory in your life may be preceded by a certain sickness, illness, that may even be terminal. Or it may even be preceded by a reduction in number in our church. And the Lord will have to do that sometimes to humble man so that he can show his hand mighty. If we look on there in verse 16, moving on, verse 16, chapter 7 of Judges, verse 16. We learn a lesson through this passage here, and then we're going to go to the New Testament to have this lesson confirmed. And he divided the 300 into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, and an empty pitcher and lamps within the pitcher. So Gideon divided his troops, arms them with weapons of terror. They sound like weapons of terror, don't they? And gives them clear instructions to follow. Do you see that? And that's how the Lord works. The Bible instructs us. The scriptures will give us instructions in righteousness. And we're to follow them to the T. It was important that these 300 soldiers followed Gideon's instructions to the T. If one was to blow out of sync, out of time, would have woken the enemy. The scriptures will give us instruction in righteousness. Follow them. In verse 19, we see there that a little after midnight, they moved down the hill. Now here's Gideon. He sets his great army into three companies, 100 each. And they moved down the hill, from shadow to shadow down the mountain, a little like a candle under a bushel. The lamp was in the vessel, hidden. Their lit torches hidden in the pitchers. And when they came to the outside of the camp, they faithfully obeyed their instructions. In verse 20, and the three companies blew their trumpets and broke the pitchers and held the lamps in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And then they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." They blew their trumpets, they broke their pitchers, and let their torches glow. Without the breaking of the vessels, the torches wouldn't glow. Then they stood patiently in place and saw the salvation of the Lord before them. They just stood faithfully. Verse 21, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp. I don't know if I could do that. I think I'd probably break the line of attack, you know. But these men were faithful, and they just had to blow the trumpet. They cried with a loud voice, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And I think together they would have perhaps broken their earthen vessels, their pitchers, against each other, or perhaps against a rock. I'm not exactly sure how they broke their pitchers, but they did. And simultaneously, they worked together. But these three things give us a picture. Let's not lose fact here that what the enemy did in verse 22 and the 300. Just the second part of verse 22, then every man sought against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts. The Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. The Midianites, in their God-given confusion, in their frenzy, their crazed stupor, thought themselves under attack, destroyed each other, tried to flee. They couldn't. They were pursued. And that's the hand of the Lord. 300 men didn't move. Just blew a trumpet and shone the light. And the Lord did the rest. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." And I like the connection there. And the important, I want you to notice in verse 2 why God chooses to work this way. Let it be a reminder. We must always remind ourselves. Verse 2. "Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me." That's why God chose to work this way. Lest Israel vaunt themselves. Lest you vaunt yourself, saying, my own hand, my own greatness has saved me. God disarmed them with man's weapons and armed him with rams and horns, earthen jars and torches. It doesn't make sense, but that's how God working. Man's armour. We would go to the latest artillery, but God's armour is different. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our weapons aren't carnal. Often we want them to be. The Lord says, hey, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know, we want to get in and wring someone's neck or something, but our weapons are not carnal. But they are mighty through God. Amen. The sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, Amen. The helmet of salvation, our loins girt about with truth, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Going out and sharing the gospel. These are our weapons of warfare. Three things to look at here. We see, number one, the trumpet. The trumpet symbolizes the preaching of the gospel. Did you notice that they together blew their trumpets? And they were to follow the instruction of Gideon. When he blew, the company of 100 blew with him, and then the other two companies blew. And together they blew their trumpets in faith, in following instruction. And the blowing of the trumpet it symbolizes us the preaching of the gospel. 2 Timothy 4:2 says to preach the word and to be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And you know that, we all know that it's by the foolishness of preaching. It was the foolishness of blowing trumpets that 132,000 Midianites were conquered. Can't fathom it. But it's the foolishness of preaching that does the same. Will give the victory. It's a picture of the trumpet blowing. The picture of the broken pitcher pictures our lives that are broken for Christ. Amen. Notice they are earthen vessels. There's nothing special about us. In God's eyes, we're special. He loves us. But in and of ourselves, there's nothing special about us. We are earthen vessels. And these earthen vessels were empty vessels. Emptied of self, empty vessels, and filled with containing a heavenly light. So that's the picture of being broken for Christ. It is being dead to self. It is living in the Spirit. It is crucifying our old man. It is daily taking up our cross. The breaking of our self-will and ambitions, so the Lord can be glorified through us. That's God's way. His ways are higher. That's his choice. He chooses to work this way. Galatians 2:20 says that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. Many other verses we could look at to show Christ living in and through us. So lose your life. If we can just lose our life, then we can gain it. But if we think we're just going to gain our life, then the Lord tells us you'll just lose it. And the third picture we see there is in the revealed lamp. It's only revealed when the broken vessel takes place. the revealed lamp is the, we'll see in the New Testament that it is the glorious gospel of Christ. It is the glory of God. It is the light of God. And it comes out of an earthen vessel. Earthly vessels with heavenly content. The revealed lamp. I love the picture of the lamp. The light. The scriptures have much to say about light. And please go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and we'll see some of that as we further apply that to our endeavour, our missionary endeavour. Chapter 4 and verse 3 through to verse 7, please. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 7. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And there's a word to underline, lest. Lest. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And there's humility. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. In verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. There's reference made here to the light that was created. The same God who created light in Genesis 1:3 chooses to shine in our hearts. The same light that lights the universe, the source of that light, who is God, chooses to shine in our hearts. It's David Livingstone knew that. He found that out. He said, it is no sacrifice to serve the Lord, rather it is privilege. For the God of the universe to shine in our hearts. And in verse 7, that same light is called treasure. It is a treasure. And thank God for this treasure. This treasure is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that shines through this earthly vessel. What a great picture. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the power of God in our earthen vessels. We just don't often use that. We forget that. We forget that we have the same light that shone and destroyed the Midianite army through humility of man and through brokenness of man and through God shining his light out. He still wishes to operate that way today. And so my challenge is for us to realize that, to note that, to see where the source of the power comes from. And this light, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Christ Jesus. That light needs to go out. The preceding verses talks about a darkened souls, darkened hearts, whom the God of this world hath darkened. And the only hope is God's light to that darkened soul. And it's through our vessels that the light can be shone out. And it's I like the thought that it is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Your penny doesn't drop with a lot of people sometimes. I'm sure you witness, and you know, certainly there are seeds that are planted, and then down the track one day the Lord will just bring the knowledge of the glory of God in Christ Jesus. And we'll see a darkened heart then brought to life. So there's hope. There's the hope. The Lord wishes to work. He worked that way. That's the way the Lord works. And he continues to work the same way today. These are things that encourage me. For as we go out, whether we're on our own or we just have one or two helping, we know that it is not by our might or our strength. And likewise here in Lane Cove or the regions where you live, it's not by your might or your strength. And so commit it to the Lord, ask the Lord to work and watch the mighty hand of God conquer. In concluding, one, praise God for his divine presence within our feeble vessels. We need to praise him. His divine presence in our feeble vessels. And that's what makes us a vessel unto honour. And two, with that privilege comes the opportunity to shine the knowledge of the glory of God. We can shine the knowledge of the glory of God. Matthew 5:14 teaches us that ye are the light of the world. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but sets it up on a candlestick. And the word there, let, is an action word. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. Little children know that when they hear the song, This Little Light of Mine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You know that song? Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So let me challenge you in the closing words here before Pastor comes and closes the service. Offer to the Lord what you have. What you have. Gideon said, Lord, I'm the least of my father's house. Offer to the Lord what you have. Whether it be a body of limitations, a body of weakness, a body that struggles, give them over to him. You say, my weapons are dull. They're old. They're rusty. He knows that. He knows that. He just wants you to yield them over to him. He can take those feeble weapons. Some of these some of our vessels are cracked and some of them are chipped. Some are old, some are young. The Lord wants us to yield ourselves over to him, to be used of him for God's glory. Hudson Taylor says, God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on him. Amen. Enough to lean on him. Lean on the everlasting arms and see the hand of God. See the hand of God work. May God bless you. Thank you.